In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Christos anesti. Alamasia come. Each of the last two Sundays, St. Thomas Sunday, and the Sunday of the ointment-bearing women, and St. Nicodemus and St. Joseph of Arimathea, the Gospels were about the appearance of the risen Lord. Today's Gospel passage directs us and takes us in a new direction. We're back now hearing about, or is recounting to us, one of the Lord's miracles during his public ministry, the healing of a paralytic man. And what does the healing of a paralytic man have to do with the season of Pascha? The miraculous healing has both a resurrectional theme and has a baptismal theme. And baptism is an essential element or a key theme in the season of Pascha. And baptism, the essential element of baptism, is water. So water also is an essential theme of the season of the resurrection. So today, we've heard about water and baptism, and we're going to hear about it on Wednesday, mid-Pentecost, and we're going to hear about it next Sunday, and we're going to hear about it the following Sunday. Resurrection, baptism, and water. All of them are about new life. And that is what the church is celebrating in an intense way in these 40 days of the resurrection, and in the course of the next 9 days, 10 days, when it's all said and done, we'll talk about between the leave-taking and the Pentecost. First, let's look at the resurrectional tone of today's gospel passage. By all accounts, the paralyzed man was dead. Note the description. He is unable to move. He was unable to walk. He is unable to work. In a way, this man is unable to live. This man was in such a plight that he could not even take himself to the pool in order to be healed. What is he lying on? A pallet. What's a pallet used for? It's a coffin. It's for people who are dead. So here he is, basically a man who has physical existence, but for all intents and purposes, he's dead. And Jesus of Nazareth, the Word of God, the Word of life, comes to this man and he says, "Rise, take up your pallet and go home." In obedience to that divine commandment, the paralytic all of a sudden has this power. He's healed and he can rise. Rise, note the allusion to the resurrection. Now this man begins a whole new life. And careful reading of this gospel passage revealed the real cause of his paralysis. It was sin. And so Jesus of Nazareth gives the instruction. Once this man is risen to new life, says what? "Behold, you are cured. Sin no more, lest something worse befall you." Today's gospel passage once again reminds us, reveals to us, maybe teaches us for the first time for your hearing. Sin. Sin is the real disease, inflicting and afflicting every human being. It does violence to the soul. It does violence to the dignity of a human person. It does violence to one's relationship with God. It does violence to one's relationship with his or her neighbor. It does violence to one's relationship to creation. It does violence to one's relationship with himself or herself. Sin is violence. And there's no earthly power. There's no human power that can alleviate or remove the effects of sin. It's signified in the words that the paralytic man said to our Lord, quote, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred," end of quote. Science, medicine, counseling, therapy, human ingenuity and philosophy, human wisdom, they may in some ways contribute to the healing of a mind or the body or the soul. Nonetheless, all of them are limited. They will not bring the ultimate and necessary healing to the human person. And the greatest evil that sin brings to the world, brings into the world, is death. Death, corruption, decaying, rotting. It stinks. It makes things stink. It distorts and it makes things ugly. Only God then can bring true, genuine healing to the human person. So the church sings for 40 days, "By your death, Christ, you have trampled upon death." We sing it every day. Hopefully you're singing it before your meals. Hopefully you sing it the first time you get up in the morning. Hopefully it's the last thing you're singing at night before you go to bed. Because it's the real news. It's the real good news for the world. You, Lord, by your death have trampled upon death. And of course it also means sin. When we say, "Lord, you've trampled death," it means everything associated with death, including sickness and suffering. Today's gospel passage depicts a great multitude of infirmed people, sickly people. And they are all lying around this pool of water. And they're all waiting, eager, longing, wanting to be healed by the stirring waters. Healed of the diseases, healed of the infirmities, hey, healed of whatever ways they've been maimed by life or by somebody else. What an apt description of humanity. In the way humanity is lying around a pool of water, waiting to be healed. Every human being is sick. Every human being in some way has an infirmity. Every human being in some way has diseases. Whether it's attacking the heart, attacking the soul, attacking the mind, or attacking the body, or maybe several of those elements of what in parts of the human. And it's called sin. And ultimately, every human being will suffer the ultimate effect of sin, death. So we're all around that pool, suffering from the ultimate disease, sin and death. Nonetheless, there was that pool in Solomon's portico. It was appropriately called the Pool of Bethesda, meaning the Pool of Mercy. Mercy. Now, what is mercy? What does that even mean? The English word mercy doesn't quite capture the true significance of the word. The word mercy comes from a Latin word, misericordia. Some of our fathers, especially Augustine, really delve into the meaning. They break this word down and really try to explain what misericordia, that we translate in English, mercy means. It's two words. Miser. It means wretchedness, pitiable, lamentable. Cor. Misericordia. Cor is heart. And so the church, the Lord gives us this word, the apostles use this word, misericordia, mercy, means that the heart of God enters into our wretched, lamentable state. That's what misericordia is. That's what mercy means. And how many times we say in our liturgies and how many times we say in our personal prayer, what we're really saying, what we're really claiming is the heart of God has entered into our wretched state. That is love. Due to the fall of Adam and Eve, the human person experiences a wretched condition on earth. We call it the veil of tears. We are sickly people, lying wounded, maimed and infirmed around a pool, unable to bring ourselves true healing. In fact, we're not even able to bring ourselves to the waters of healing. So what does God do? Because he's a loving father, because he's a good shepherd, he tells us, I go and find my sheep. So he comes to the pool. He comes to that pool where all these sickly people are lying. You and I, that paralytic man, he looks at you and me and he says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Then come to the waters of new life. Come to the waters of baptism. And participate in my victory over sin and death. Participate in my triumph. And such is the reason why the church exclaims and sings with profound joy these 40 days. All of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We've put on his victory. We've put on his joy. We have put on his very life. We talked about this yesterday in the catechumen with Matthew and Sarah. The Western church often talks about grace as an object, a thing. That's not Eastern. Grace is life. It's God's life. This is what God is giving to us. His own divine life. The waters, yes, refer to baptism. But the baptism, those waters of the baptism, is Christ's life himself. And so this Wednesday, if you're reading the prayers of the church, it's mid-feast, it's the feast of mid-Pentecost. And what are we going to hear in the liturgy? Quote, it's the Lord speaking. Quote, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For from him who believes in me shall flow the living waters of life. The living waters of life. Four rivers moved out of the garden and gave life to an entire world before Adam and Eve sinned. That water was reopened and is gushing forth into the world through Christ in his liturgy. In the liturgy flows the very waters of life. Seek these waters and be healed. Seek him in the celebration of the mysteries. Liturgy, Eucharist, anointing, confession. The Lord is commanding you and me today, take up your pallet and go home. Home? Come to me, says the Lord. I am your home. Stay close to him through the celebration of the liturgy. And when the flow of life comes out of this liturgy into your heart, then you'll find the power, the strength, and the courage to bring this life into a world that's dying. Christ is risen.